Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like him or not, when it comes to the Dolphins, he's always keeping it 100. Omar Kelly of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Heard exclusively on WQAM. Brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done.
All right, let's go right to him. Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel joins us. Talk a little bit about those Miami Dolphins.
Like them or not.
As they get set for Monday Night Football with Like Them or Not. Omar, how you doing, man?
That intro always makes me laugh every time I hear. And it's true. It's just candidly honest about me. I really don't care if people like me or not. Like, you'll eventually come around and respect me, even if you don't like me. But, you know, I get where I am and who I am. So, you know, it is what it is.
Are you blocking people on social media?
No.
Or, you know, you good?
You know what? I think as we've aged and as we've understood social media, people have toned down on how abusive or negative or mean they are. Like, I would say 3 years ago, after, like, disappointing Dolphins losses, I couldn't even go on social media for, like, a day. I had to give Dolphins fans, like, a day to cool off. And you deal with it on radio. Now, I think people have come, they either really know who I am, but I don't even see that much disrespectful stuff to other people. You know, we've just grown up and realized, okay, this is social media, this is how it's used. If you come at somebody disrespectfully, they'll probably put you on blast. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I've been called an N-word on social media. It's because people know I'm going to retweet it, and I think we've just all grown up and understand it a little bit better.
Well, let's get into all Miami Dolphins here, and I want to ask you
good
first.
Week.
Yeah, it was.
Week.
By the way, I know the Denver Broncos aren't very good, but it was good.
I don't
it
like when people
stuff.
Say that, Joe. I don't like when people say that, Joe, because who was picked by Vegas, which is very good at what they do, to win that game? It was the Denver Broncos.
That's right. That's a good point.
So Vegas said, you, the Miami Dolphins, are not a good team, which I completely understand why they said that, because up until that point, the Miami Dolphins hadn't played an entire game all season. They hadn't looked like you. I think I had this conversation with you. The one game that people could say was a good game for the Miami Dolphins was the Atlanta Falcons. And truth be told, the offense showed up for a half, and the defense, which really wasn't playing well that game, they just saved the day when Rashard Jones got that lucky interception.
Yeah.
That's your best game of the season up until now. I think that they played a very good game. Yes, I'd love for them to clean up the turnovers, and that's something that they've been working on. Maybe it'll get fixed next month, just like every other issue this season. But I think that we saw things that we needed to see, which is Kenyon Drake. We saw the offensive line have a kind of a respectable game against a very physical and aggressive pass rushing team, and we saw Jay Cutler. You know, he wasn't great, but you know, he, when they got into the red zone, they scored. So that's a step in the right direction. Hopefully you continue to take steps in the right direction.
Got to ask you, what do you think of the onside kick? Let's talk about the national story. who is Coach sticking it to? If we know the truth, and I know it's just your opinion, and I know Adam came out and said, hey man, it was just give my team attitude and let them know.
Well, I think that there's some level of truth to that. Adam is an aggressive, kind of arrogant dude, so that makes sense. However, this is how you're going to coach, how come you didn't coach like that in the first 11 games of the season? I think that that was a statement to John Elway, which I didn't even know until after the game, and just people in Buffalo who are around, and you know, he loves Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph is his dude. I've been around them. I know they're close. So it wasn't anything personal to Vance. So who was it personal to? And it was to John Elway. He wanted to embarrass John Elway and make him look bad for the decision that he made, even though it was hiring his buddy. And he achieved that. I mean, Elway, they're really probably considering firing Vance Joseph after one season, even though they don't have any kind of quarterback on that team. And the reason Adam did it, supposedly, allegedly, is because, you know, when he was on the head coaching circuit or out looking for a job, you know, Elway badmouthed him. Or not badmouthed him, but didn't have favorable things to say. And, you know, and I can understand why Elway supposedly said what he said, because if you knew, you know, Adam, you know, his personality is not for everybody. And as a guy whose personality isn't for everybody, I can understand that as well.
Omar, did the Dolphins find their bell cow running back in Kenyon Drake?
No, I don't. I think we need to see four more games like what we saw against Denver to say, okay, he's for real. I say this, and I think I said it to you guys last week or said it on QAM. Kenyon Drake has talent. If you ask me the question in training camp, who was the top running back on the Miami Dolphins team in training camp with Jay Ajayi on the roster, my answer would have been Kenyon Drake. And people who follow me on Twitter or who heard me on radio, I know I've said it before, Kenyon Drake was the top performer. The question is, why couldn't he or hasn't he put it all together to become a featured back for the last 7 years of his life? And the truth of the matter is, it's because durability. And the question is, can he physically hold up and handle the workload? Like, if Kenyon Drake right now isn't going to a masseuse twice a week, or isn't going to acupuncture, or isn't going, you know, having his body frozen, I forget what they call it, or hasn't learned from Jay Ajayi in terms of how to try to survive that physical beating and that workload, he hasn't learned anything about anything in the last 7 years.
Omar, Jesse Davis, looks like he's getting better. Everybody's saying nice things about him. Right guard or right tackle when it's all said and done?
I think he's going to be probably the right tackle, and here's the reason why. I think Dolphins are going to draft one of those positions, right guard or right tackle, and I think it's probably easier to draft the right guard than it is to draft the right tackle. A right guard in the NFL is the worst position that you want to play outside of football, because it's supposed to be the most expendable guy in the entire league. Like, that's the one position that every offensive lineman should be able to play right guard. So I think that Jesse Davis, he's got enough talent, and he's got long arms, and he's a strong guy. And I personally don't believe Juwan James will be back with the organization. So I think Jesse Davis is probably going to be invested they're probably going to invest in him as the right tackle moving forward.
Omar, we've seen in the past, and not just the past couple of years, that the Dolphins have a hard time covering tight ends of the opposing team. And Gronk looks like he's going to miss the game on Monday. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not that the Patriots need Gronk to give you a beatdown, because they've done it without Gronk over the years. You know, they still have Dwayne Allen. Last I checked, Dwayne Allen was pretty competent and capable tight end in the NFL. I don't know why he's still had such a limited role in New England. It's probably because it's so hard to learn their offense, as most players who've gone there, whether they've been stars or not, they say it's a beast to learn. So I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference in the game. But definitely, you know, Gronk scored 2 touchdowns on you last time. There's nobody in the NFL that can cover Gronk. So it's great that he's not going to be there, but does it make a difference in the game? Absolutely not. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, you have other issues. Your defensive line is watered down, depleted, injury decimated, and you can't stop the run. The Patriots are going to run all over you. So that's where your focus should be. You shouldn't be celebrating because, you know, you don't have to face Gronk. While that's important, it's not like you could stop the run anyway. And they're not even a running team.
Omar, what's going on with Devontae Parker? I've heard about the ankle sprain and the high ankle sprain, but the last 3 games,
yes,
I sense he's lost some confidence. He doesn't look like the same guy going after the football.
Yeah, I don't think he can, and I don't want to make excuses for him, because if you're on the field, you're healthy enough to play, and clearly the coaches think you're more talented than Leonte Carew at 100%. But every week I watch Devontae limp around when he's not running in practice or when he's in the locker room, and clearly, you know, the kid has lost some confidence and some ability in the ankle, and can't, you know, his strength is high pointing the ball. What is it, 4 interceptions thrown on him in situations? So, and he's not high pointing the ball. I would at this point demote him to get his attention, either get healthy or feel the heat. The problem is there's nobody on the roster who you could really put into the game and have confidence that they would thrive or excel or give you what Devontae can. So right now he's out there pretty much as a decoy.
I know,
but
in the beginning,
I don't know who he's fooling.
No, and Omar, I know in the beginning of the season we talked about Devontae, and this is the big step year for him. And if he does make this step, that this could be, you know what? It's not the biggest deal in the world if Devontae does step up, that Jarvis leaves. And are we getting to the point now where Jarvis needs to stay on this team?
I never bought into. I saw the talent that Devontae had, and I've always said this, and I've said this to you, Joe, and Devontae is by far talent wise the most talented receiver on the team. Will he ever bring it all out? I highly doubt that. And it's not the work ethic. It's not his determination. It's just, you know, one injury sets him back, and it takes him forever to come back from it. And I don't want to sit here and say that a guy is soft, but, you know, he clearly has some soft tissue issues. Let's just put it that way.
That's a good way to put it.
It's, you know, when he gets hurt, which you know he's going to get hurt, it takes him a while to come back. That's just the reality of it. But as I always say about the Dolphins, you drafted an injury-prone, injured wide receiver in the first round, and 3 years later, you're complaining that he's injured and injury-prone.
Nope, that's been a problem with the first-round pick. There's no question. I want to talk about a guy that quietly is playing as well as anybody on the team, Bobby McCain. Not only a nickel, but he had to go out wide and play some in the last game when Tankersley went out. It's amazing how much better he's gotten this year from last year. And I'm not just talking about his coverage, but his tackling. I think he's a top three or four player on the team.
Whoa. Ask me that after Bill Belichick attacks him on Monday night. Like, I don't know. I can't sit here and Bobby's improved. I don't think he was that bad to begin with. This is his third year playing nickel. He's clearly become the new Jimmy Wilson, the new, you know, Will Allen. Is he the top nickel that I've ever covered on the Dolphins team? No. I'd probably rank him in like three. It's a specialist role. Is he good at that role? He's getting to that point, but I'm not really ready to crown him yet. I mean, if you want to be a great nickel, you got to lock down the Patriots. And Danny Amendola, you know, him and Danny Amendola, that to me is the one of the storylines that I'll be watching this week, because Danny Amendola cost him some money, got him kicked out of the game. And then Danny Amendola did the same thing last
week. That's right.
Last week
against
Buffalo.
That's right.
And so it's not Bobby. You clearly see that it's not Bobby, but now you know you're going to have to deal with that dirty stuff. And, you know, the Patriots, everybody, people don't understand why the Patriots are so good. Well, they're so good because they've been doing the same thing for 14 years. Then on top of that, their coach is smart enough to attack your weaknesses and expose you. Then the quarterback's so good, he doesn't make any mistakes, so he forces you to play perfect, which most players can't play perfect. And then on top of that, truth be told, they play dirty. They just don't get called for it. And, you know, they have this choir boy, you know, image going for themselves. And, you know, and it, Danny Amendola, he's got a little reputation as a dirty player, but, you know, it never comes out.
Well, listen, they got a lot of people rip them. I don't know if their reputation's all that good.
A lot of people are envious.
Well, listen, this thing's been on. They got 10 wins again for like the 20th straight season. They're making 10 wins look real easy.
Yeah, man. This is the best dynasty in football in football history. And unfortunately for
not even close. I agree.
It's in your division. I never saw the Pittsburgh dynasty, so. You know, I'm sure those fans are, you know, but clearly they've been better than what the Dallas.
Well, Pittsburgh was good for, you know, and they won a ton of Super Bowls, but
not
this
16
new,
years.
But I mean, we're talking about 2001 when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe.
I remember writing the first story. I was an intern with the Sun. I wasn't in 2000. That was like my first year with the Sun Sentinel, and I went out and I wrote a story about this young quarterback who was going to start. And the reason I wrote the story was because Jason Cole and Alex Marvez, they didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, okay, well, I'll write it. And nobody cared about the story, and it was about Tom Brady. And here we are, 14, you know, 17 years later,
yeah,
and he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, it's really, truly amazing. And it's really, truly amazing. And playing at a high level. Like, there's been no drop-off. He's 40 years old. And truth be told, he gets touched so little that he could play till he's 45.
Yeah, he's got a lot of time to pat the ball. I mean, you look at the highlights and everything else. By the way, real quickly, too, because we're running out of time here, Dolphins got to do a better job of picking up the New England blitzes this week, because they're going to come with that same stuff that's been killing. I'm guessing that's going to be one of the keys of this game, is we got to be able to block those things better, not having two guys block one guy and nobody block the guy coming in.
Well, that was the first game with Jesse Davis and Sam Young playing there, and you know, and it put pressure on the rest of the line, and it would, you know, I think they'll play better. And remember, it was most of those sacks came in like the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand, and Belichick was just, truthfully speaking, working on some stuff, just experimenting. I don't know if they'll play that way again this week, but clearly they have, you know. There isn't one single edge aspect of this game where the Dolphins have an edge. So, you know, you got your work cut out for you.
Big upset coming.
Yeah,
Monday Night
boy.
Football. The Dolphins finally going to show on national TV. I
hope they show something.
I'm drinking Kool-Aid with extra sugar this week.
Yeah,
this is
you're
it,
on
the
sugar high right now.
I'm
that's
on that cherry. Yeah, a little cherry Kool-Aid right now, man. I'm on it.
That Denver win got you all high and mighty.
Oh yeah! See what happens when Denver comes to town, Omar. Look at that,
Omar.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Take care of yourself.
No problem, guys.
All right.
Omar Kelly,
he's
from
in a good
South
mood
Florida
today,
Sun Sentinel, in a very good mood talking about the Dolphins.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.